Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among all women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The Gospel of the Lord. Today, both in St. Luke's Gospel as well as in the book of Revelation, we see Mary on a mission while she was pregnant. Soon as she had become pregnant, before Jesus would have the tiniest of embryonic feet kicking in her womb, she went with haste to care for her cousin Elizabeth. And then Jesus within her was able to work an incredible miracle in St. John the Baptist while he was still in the womb. The book of Revelation, once again, we see Mary pregnant, about to give birth to the church. We know that she was planning to give birth to the church there precisely because of the pangs of childbirth. She didn't have any with Jesus, but it would pain her to give birth to us because those were her pangs on the cross. But she was preparing to give birth to the church, and that's what the book of Revelation is describing. Today we celebrate Our Lady of Guadalupe, when she appeared there 482 years ago. She appeared as a pregnant Aztec princess, dressed in Aztec clothes. She was a mestiza, a half mix, in a sense, in her skin, between the Spaniards and the Indian indigenous Mexicans, to show that there was a great harmony between New World and Old, between the faith being brought by the missionaries from Spain and the nature, in a sense, of the Aztecs, what they were ready for. Mary's always on that mission. When she came to Mexico, she was preparing to give birth to her son in our entire hemisphere. And that same son who worked the miracle for John the Baptist worked a great miracle in our hemisphere. The evangelization of our continent really exploded after her appearance. The Franciscans had arrived just in 1521. Juan Diego, who we'll talk about in a second, became a Christian in 1524. But in 1531, after the first 10 years of the Franciscans, there were very, very few converts. After this miraculous appearance of Mary and the image that was imprinted on the outer garment of Juan Diego led to an explosion of converts such that millions had entered in the next decade. And it continues this way. Mary's always trying to give birth to her son in the hearts of believers. That's always what her mission is. When she came there and started to speak to Juan Diego, she announced a message that she wanted him to go to the bishop. Zumárraga was his name, who had just recently arrived from Spain, and have a teocalli, a temple built on that mountain, so that she could care for her children with maternal love, so that she could show herself a mother of mercy, to be able to mother them like a mother does for most of us in the faith, so that she could mother us all in that faith. That's what she always wants to do and what she wants to do today. Let's talk about Juan Diego, because I think his vocation story is one of the most incredible ever. There are a lot of the times we make cockamamie excuses as to why the Lord really isn't calling us first to be a saint and to become a real apostle, to be able to bring others to the Lord. When we look at the story of Juan Diego, after seeing this story, we have no excuses. Juan Diego was 57. He was a widower. He had been a Christian only for 7 years. He was most famous for keeping his head down and shuffling his feet little by little, as every Saturday and every Sunday he would walk 15 miles one way to go to daily Mass. And on December 9th, 1531, as he was shuffling up over the mountain to go to the place where he'd go to Mass, he heard somebody crying out to him, "Juanito, Dieguito, come here." So he went up the mountain, and that's where he saw Our Lady. She gave him a mission. Soon as she had given that mission to go to the bishop and say that she wanted a temple built on that mountain, he went like a respectful servant of a noble lady. But when he got to the bishop's courtyard, he was treated basically by the bishop's staff as a nobody. He waited outside in a cold courtyard for a long time before he was admitted. The bishop treated him with respect, but the bishop thought that he was basically a lunatic. He wasn't going to be building a church on the top of a mountain on just this 57-year-old Indian's coming on in. And so he said, "Well, why don't you come back and we'll talk about this again?" Juan Diego wasn't that stupid. He knew that the bishop was blowing him off. So he went back to where he had met the lady and basically pronounced himself a total failure, begging her, "Listen, if this is a really important mission, please give it to somebody important. The bishop's not going to pay any attention to me." Mary's response was, "Listen, I have many servants to whom I could entrust this mission. I'm entrusting it to you. I want you to go back, and I want you to repeat what I told you, that the Mother of God sends you, and that I want him to build a temple here on this mountaintop." Went back, experienced the same difficulties with the bishop's handlers. Eventually he was admitted. The bishop asked him lots of questions. The bishop trusted in his sincerity. He just didn't trust in his sanity. But he was going to give him a test. He said, "Well, why don't you go back to that lady and ask her for a sign? I know the sign that I'm interested in. Go back and ask her." And Juan Diego asked him, "Could you tell me what the sign was? I'll tell her clearly and we'll make sure that she gets it." Bishop said no. So went back, talked to Our Lady. Our Lady received Juan Diego with great love, said, "Come back in the morning and I'll give you that sign." So when he came back that following morning, 482 years ago today, she pointed to the top of the mountain. She said, "Go up there and pick up the roses." With her own hands, she started to arrange the roses in his outer garment called the tilma. Roses don't grow on the top of high mountains in December in our continent. Not to mention Castilian roses from Castilla, that Spanish region from which the Bishop de Zumarraga had come. They had never even been brought to our continent. They didn't exist yet in our continent. But that was the sign that the bishop had asked for. Mary arranged it in Juan Diego's tilma, and she just said, "Don't open this until the bishop." And so he goes back to the bishop's courtyard. By this point, the bishop's handlers had been told the previous day to tail Juan Diego and to see where he went, just to try to get a little bit of evidence. But Juan Diego, even in his shuffling throughout the entire territory, had basically lost the Episcopal private investigators. And so they went back, and instead of saying that they had failed in their mission, they said, "He's a sneaky guy. You shouldn't trust him." So now their own reputation was on the line as they see Juan Diego, and they make him wait for hours outside with this, and they're saying, "What do you got in your tilma? What do you got in your tilma?" They saw that there were some roses, and then when they looked a second time down at the bottom of the tilma, it looked almost as if the roses had melted into the tilma. So finally, the bishop saw that he was out there. He was holding something. He thought that it might be the sign. So he invited him on in. And when he came on in, he said, this is the sign that Our Lady gave. And he opened up his toma to drop the roses all over the floor. And the bishop went down and he saw that that was exactly the sign he was looking for. But then he looked on up, and on the toma of Juan Diego was this image of Our Lady, just as Juan Diego had seen him, or seen her, excuse me, seen that image. And he did great veneration. He immediately asked to have the tilma. He put it in his private chapel. The type of flax that is in a tilma should have disintegrated in that temperature in 10 years. Still there, unmoved in 482 years. And that image has something really special. Not only do we have that mestiza pregnant Aztec princess with all the symbolism that's contained there, but with modern techniques, as we're able to use our great scientific advances to study this image, when they zoomed in on the eye of Our Lady, they found that there were various images in her eye, all reversed, just like the human eye processes it when it goes to the brain. They had no idea of any of this type of stuff 482 years ago. And in it, there were several figures, a figure that looks almost identical to the portraits of Bishop de Zumarraga, an image that looks just like his secretary, who later became a bishop, an image that looks just like Juan Diego, one of the housekeepers there, and then a fifth figure, all within the pupil of Mary's eye, within the pupil of her love, as if Mary were looking at them live, at the very image, at the very time, excuse me, when the image was exposed by Juan Diego in her courtyard. What do we have to learn from this? First, we have a great thing to learn about Mary's own consistent mission. She's always trying to bring her son to us and bring us to her son. She's always pregnant, trying to give birth to her son in us. We need to be good maternity ward nurses and deliver that baby within. Second, we see her incredible maternal love, that she's got us in her eye, that she is a mother of mercy, that she wants to create within us a teokali, a house of prayer, so that she can be a mother to us, so that she can teach us how to pray to the Lord, teach us how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, form us to be other Christs. Third, she wants to make us missionaries. She could have chosen a whole bunch of other people for that mission. Heck, she could have gone to the bishop herself. She didn't need a middleman. But she wanted a middleman. A middleman who every one of us could look at and say, if God chooses him, he can choose me too. And that we've got a mission. This is what Pope Francis talked about yesterday when he recorded a message for all Catholics in our hemisphere to help us to get ready to celebrate this day. He said, what we see in the Virgin of Guadalupe, the patroness of Americas, that she has her arms wide open to try to bring us to her son. And he said, we likewise need to have our arms and our hearts wide open to embrace all those others for whom her son died. That's what Pope Francis is trying to do with his mission, and that's what he's encouraging everybody in the Church in Christ's name to do, to carry out that mission of Juan Diego, to go out and bring that message given to us by God, given to us by Our Lady, to others, with our arms wide open to embrace people with the embrace of Christ. Today, as we come forward, we remember those words of Blessed John Paul II, on this day in 1999, when he went to Guadalupe to give the document for the pastoral plan for the Church in this hemisphere, called Ecclesia in America, the Church in America. It was there that John Paul II said that Mary, the Virgin of Guadalupe, shows us the path forward. That Mary, the Virgin of Guadalupe, is the one who seeks in mothering us to make us other disciples. That just as Elizabeth said to her, "Blessed are you among all women." So he, the successor of St. Peter, would say to all of us in America, "Blessed are you among all nations for having received this mission of maternal love." Let us rejoice in that beatitude. Let us ask Mary to pray for us, that as we receive the same Son here, whom she bore in her womb and brought to Elizabeth, that as soon as we receive him, we will run with haste to bring him to others with open arms. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.